Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, everybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we begin today with the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. You may remember that there is suspense over whether the talks will collapse over Israel's refusal to extend a freeze on Jewish settlements in the West Bank that expired last month. President Obama has been urging Israel to continue the freeze, but also urging the Palestinian Authority to continue the talks in any case. In recent days, the Israeli Prime Minister has offered to renew the freeze if the PLO recognizes Israel as a Jewish state. The Palestinian Prime Minister has offered to renew the peace talks if Israel pursues even a silent freeze. Both sides' offers were rejected. So now what? With me today is the PLO representative to the United States, Man Rashid Arakat. Ambassador, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
Let's talk first about the current moment, then we'll get to the bigger picture. When Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu offers a settlement freeze in exchange for recognition of Israel as a Jewish state, why reject that?
Well, first of all, because Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to confuse things here. Israeli obligation to freeze settlement activities, including natural growth, were accepted by Israel in 2003 as part of the roadmap that was turned into UN Security Council Resolution 1515, supported by the international community and the United States. So, freezing settlements is an Israeli obligation under previous agreements. The new condition asking the Palestinians to accept the Jewishness of the state of Israel is something new that has never been part of the discussion between the Palestinians and the Israelis. I personally feel, and we feel, that it's only a political maneuver to distract us all from the main issue.
The PLO long ago recognized Israel's right to exist, correct? That's one of the main things separating the Palestinian Authority from Hamas, correct?
Absolutely. We did that in 1993. We exchanged letters of recognition. The PLO recognized the state of Israel, and Israel recognized the PLO. This happened after the announcement of the Oslo Accords in 1993. And we even took a step further later in the mid-90s and in 1998 when we convened the Palestine National Council in Gaza in the presence of former President Clinton, and we declared unequivocally cancellation of all the clauses in the Palestinian National Charter that refer to the destruction of the state of Israel. So we believe that we have done our part of the job here.
So why this back and forth over the term Jewish state if it'll get you a settlement freeze? Israel currently exists as a Jewish state, and as you just described, you recognize Israel. So are we holding up a real two-state solution over semantics?
No, absolutely not. We have made it clear to the Israelis that they can call themselves whatever they want to call them themselves. This is something for Israel, for its people, for its institutions to determine the name that Israel wants to use. We have no problem with that. The problem is Israel wants us to recognize Israel that it is a Jewish state. Now, there are two elements here that should be taken into account. One, there are 1.2 million Palestinians who constitute almost 20% of the Israeli population, who are non-Jews living inside Israel and are Israeli citizens. This could, seriously undermine their rights if Israel is recognized as a Jewish state by the Palestinians. The second issue is the issue of the Palestinian refugees who fled their homes in 1948. And by asking us to acknowledge and recognize Israel as a Jewish state, Israel is basically telling the Palestinians, give up the right of the return. Do not discuss the issue of refugees. It's off the table.
We had an Arab journalist guest recently, Rami Khoury, who said, as important as the term Jewish state is to Israelis, Palestinians want an explicit acknowledgement of history as part of a two-state solution, an acknowledgement that Israelis of the 1940s especially pushed Palestinians off their land to help create a Jewish majority. You talk about the right of return stemming from that. Do you agree that accepting a certain version of history is actually a central issue in the peace process?
Well, I, you know what, if... if we want to go all back to the historical narrative and, you listen to some Palestinians who say that we have absolute right to that land from the river to the to the sea, I think the Palestinians have come a long way. They have transformed themselves from calling for one democratic state where Jews, Christians, and Muslims can live in peace to accepting the two-state solution. We have to be careful about calling for issues. When Israel asks the Palestinians to talk about or to acknowledge the Jewishness of the Israeli state, you have to keep in mind that the only time there was a reference to an Arab and Jewish state was in the UN General Assembly partition plan, UN General Assembly Resolution 181, which called for a Jewish state and an Arab state living side by side. So I think all this talk about the Jewishness of the state is aimed at creating obstacles towards the progress in the peace process.
But my last question was about the other side, that the Palestinians, I had been told, also demand some language toward a final settlement, final status two-state solution, which is an explicit Israeli acknowledgement of sort of crimes of history of pushing Palestinians out in the 1940s. Do you not consider that a PLO demand?
Well, we did raise that issue with the Israelis during our discussions with them in the past. We did tell them that there has to be some kind of acknowledgement and responsibility, that the issue of the Palestinian refugee problem was not created just all of a sudden out of a vacuum, that the creation of the state of Israel in 1948 led to the creation of the Palestinian refugee problem. So in our discussion with the Israelis, we have said you have to acknowledge your responsibility, you have to acknowledge the principle of the right of return, but we will sit down and talk with you about the mechanisms taking into account Israeli demographic concerns. But the PLO is not calling under any circumstances for any other option than the two-state solution right now. It remains to be our strategic option as two states living side by side in peace and security.
My guest on WNYC is the PLO representative to the United States, Man Rashid Arakat. So we talked about the offer that Netanyahu made. Palestinian Prime Minister Abbas offered to return to the peace process.
Palestinian president.
President, forgive me. Even with a silent freeze, what's the difference between a freeze and a silent freeze?
Well, I think what the president meant, we understand that Netanyahu is trying to cater for his coalition partners. We understand that he has some of the most extreme right-wing elements in Israel as partners in his coalition. And we have said many times before that what matters is Israeli actions on the ground. At the end of the day, we would like to see a cessation of settlement activities that, in our view, are seriously threatening the possibility of a two-state solution. So we said if they can provide that freeze, we don't want him to go out in public and talk about it every day. What matters to us is to see things really cease on the ground.
But supporters of Israel would say, in terms of whether these threaten Palestinian sovereignty, supporters of Israel say that the building that Israel is doing since the freeze ended is on land in or around Jerusalem that would undoubtedly remain in Israel's hands anyway in a two-state solution with the land swaps that everyone expects. So it's not like they're expanding onto new territory or expanding in a place where the settlers would have to leave after a peace agreement. So why hang up progress on that, if that's true?
Well, first of all, this is not true. This is inaccurate. Israel is building in different areas of the West Bank, not only those that they want to keep in any future agreement. So, you can go to Peace Now, to Beit Salem, Israeli organizations who can confirm that the building is everywhere, not only in the areas surrounding occupied East Jerusalem. Secondly, this is an issue that should be left for negotiations. The Palestinians cannot accept Israeli dictating the outcome of the negotiations before we even reach a conclusion for these negotiations. What we are telling the Israelis, we will accept 1967 as the basis for the borders for a future Palestinian state with minor agreed swaps, agreed in size and in quality. Now, the Israelis, when they talk to us about the border, they can argue their case. And we can talk with them about their concerns and their demands, but they cannot upfront decide that these certain areas will be part of the future state of Israel, and therefore the Palestinians have no right to argue with them, because according to international law, these are occupied territories illegally occupied by Israel. We say, let's sit down, let's discuss borders, let's decide what the borders are. Unfortunately, until today, the Israelis have rejected our request and have rejected the request of the United States. This is a request by the United States administration that both sides sit and talk about security and borders to start with, in order to be able to handle the issue of settlements and make progress on other fronts.
But does that same argument about not dictating an outcome of the talks in advance apply to your side? Because President Obama wants your government to continue talks anyway. His argument is either side can throw up a roadblock when the other side does something you don't like, but you get to solutions by having the talks, not by demanding your desired outcomes, including no more settlement building, before the talks. Does that not make sense?
Well, let me tell you why we are making this position. Since 1993, when we signed the Oslo Accords with Israel, the PLO signed that historic agreement with Israel, the Israeli governments, respective governments, even the government of the late Prime Minister Rabin, who was very, very engaged in negotiations with the Palestinians, continued their settlement activities unabatedly. You know, the problem with Israel, they have used negotiations over the last 17 years to continue settlement activities. We today have 500,000 settlers, 500,000 settlers who are Israelis out of a 7.5 million population in Israel. This is a very large percentage, large number. We have more than 220 settlements in the West Bank, including in East Jerusalem. Settlers are controlling 42% of the occupied West Bank. The issue of the settlers is very significant. That's why a lot of people don't understand the impact of settlers and settlements on the life of the Palestinians and how it is threatening the future of the Palestinians and any possibility of a Palestinian state. It's not that we are creating this problem to find excuses not to continue in the peace process. We have done negotiations in the past while settlement activities were continuing. But today we believe that it has become a strategic option for Israel to camouflage the negotiations with continued settlement activities and to continue to confiscate and colonize the very same land that we are going to use as a future Palestinian state.
I see in Haaretz today that, well, they are reporting that the Palestinian leadership, in conjunction with Arab states, plans to submit a resolution to the UN Security Council stating that Israeli settlements in the West Bank are illegal and must be evacuated. And it says this initiative comes in place of an earlier idea of seeking Security Council recognition for a Palestinian state within pre-1967 lines. Can you confirm that?
I cannot confirm that. I saw this report. I saw also other reports saying that this is not true. I from my discussions with my officials, there is no such confirmation that this is going to be the case for now.
On the big picture, do you think the Obama peace process can succeed where the Bush and Clinton ones did not? Is there anything new and more hopeful here, in your opinion?
Well, I would like to hope that the Obama administration efforts would succeed. I think there were so many encouraging early signs after President Obama won elections and took office in January, his appointment of a special envoy, Senator Mitchell. The fact that he has a very fine, experienced, veteran, seasoned team of experts on the Middle East, both at the White House and at the State Department. I believe that the president is genuine and sincere about his desire to see this conflict coming to an end. The only thing we need a determined, resolute, persistent, perseverant effort on the part of the U.S. administration to put the national security interests of the United States ahead of anything else. And to translate this solid commitment to concrete actions to try to end this conflict and to take a different approach that will somehow guide the two parties to the end game. Everybody knows what's the end game. Everybody wants a Palestinian state next to Israel. Everybody wants to provide both with security and stability. Everybody wants to resolve all these thorny issues. And we all know what the parameters are, what it is going to take in order to do that. I think we need to see a consistent, persistent, resolute effort on the part of the administration to see to it that, within a certain time frame, these objectives, these goals, these parameters must be met by both parties.
The PLO representative to the United States, Man Rashid Arakat, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you very much, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in just a minute, highlights and lowlights from the New York gubernatorial debate. Stay with us.